Book Club podcast.
With Liz.
Who?
And Gammy.
Nice.
Hey, folks. Editor Liz here, popping in before we start real quick. I just want to apologize for the poor audio quality for this episode. This is the first one that we ever recorded, and as such, we didn't realize how bad the room echo was until it was too late. And we didn't want to re-record this episode because you wouldn't get an authentic conversation between all of us, and we thought this was more important. So that being said, if this is too irritating, if the sound quality bothers you too much, please feel free to skip this one and go on to the next. If you're still interested in our thoughts about Onyx Storm, there will be a full transcript on our website, and I will leave a link to that in the show notes. See you guys.
Yeah, baby. It's about time. I'm so excited. Are you guys excited?
I'm so excited. But before we get too excited, please tell the people what they need to know.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to start with a spoiler-free review, okay? We're going to talk about the book, and we're going to do our best to leave any spoilers out of it. We will let you guys know before we start getting into the spoilers of the Onyx Storm book, okay? A little bit of a background. This is the third book in the Empyrean series, all right? Which means there's two books before it. If you have not read those two books, I strongly recommend you get off of this episode because you will find things out that you're not meant to know yet.
We'll be here when you're done.
Don't worry, babe. Just click it. You can find it, search it. It'll be on there, okay? So definitely we're going to hit some spoilers and we will let you guys know before we start talking about it. You can stay on for a bit and then hear the synopsis of the book and then we'll let you guys know when to head out if you haven't read the book.
Yeah, just for absolute clarity, anything from Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, Onyx Storm, or anything Rebecca Yarros has said in any interviews on any social media is fair game after our spoiler-free review. We'll give you a few seconds to click off before then. And then, last but not least, Gams got fired from saying this because she immediately would have gotten us in trouble. We are an adult podcast, and we say adult things about adult books. We are going to say bad words. We are going to talk about sexy time. And just be careful of who's listening alongside you. Or if that's not your thing, you know, there are other podcasts out there.
Don't do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, guys, you've been warned. Fuck. we needed to get it out.
She got it out. We're good.
We needed to get it out.
All right, let's start with that spoiler-free review. All right. You want to start us off?
Okay. That's fine. Who's a little shy sometimes?
I'm the spoil queen.
Yeah. Hold on, because she actually is. All right, we have a group chat, and it gets violent in here, okay? Because someone sends spoilers in the group chat. Cardinal Sin.
We're pointing at poop.
Literally.
I have to read it later.
So, Liz, why don't you start with the spoiler-free review?
Fantastic. So, if we're talking star rating, I gave this 3 out of 5. And honestly, I think that was pretty generous. Now, I am known to be a tough reader when I expect a lot out of books. But that being said, I think it honestly should have been a 2, but I was so in love with the first book of this series that, like, that bumped it up a little bit for me. And I loved some parts of this. Like, I loved seeing certain aspects of Violet get a little more developed. I loved seeing some side characters get a little more time. Like, I absolutely fell in love with one of the side characters this book that I loved in the previous ones, but, like, now absolute favorite. But it just had some issues with pacing, and I was not a big fan of the ending, and not just because it's typical Rebecca Yarros and how she does things. Like, it just was frustrating for me. But I'll leave the rest for the non-spoiler-free section.
Wow. That was big. A 2?
Yeah,
a 2.
It's a 3.
Yeah, but
it's you put it out there.
2.5.
Can we do half?
Okay. It's a 2.5. Yeah, that's fine. There's no rules. It's our podcast. All right, so I'll go next. Wow. That's so low. I gave it a 4, okay? I gave it a 4. Couldn't do a 5 because I have some issues with this book, and I feel like giving it a 5 would have been way too generous. Fourth Wing is one of my, like, 5-star reads. Mm-hmm. I was let down. I'm disappointed. And I really, maybe 4 is generous, you know, now that I'm thinking about it. 4 might be generous, but I just love these characters so much. I love the world. I love the story. So she gets bonus points for that reason. It would be hard for me to, like, pick it up if I wanted to give it a 2. You know what I mean? It would be hard for me to continue the series if I was giving something like a 2. I really loved the development and the progression of a lot of the characters.
I thought that was so fun to see. We get a couple of different perspectives, which I think is really cool. That's interesting. She hasn't done that yet. So that was like really cool to see kind of play
That's
out.
That's not true. There was one chapter from Data's POV in the
second. Oh my God. One chapter. Bleh.
She's also written bonus chapters on a website, but that's not the point.
Yeah, that's not the point. The point is like the character, like the perspectives. Like,
those were the two main. You know?
Yeah.
You're right. Right. Heading into the territory. Cut it off there.
See, we told you.
I wasn't going to spoil. I'm just saying, like, yeah. She said, you know, the book is, you know, she made it clear, like, the book is about them two. Without them two, there's no storyline.
Yeah.
So for her to show us other people was
a big thing.
Because she loved more characters than just them two.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Who?
I gave it a 4 stars, but I was very excited after I finished it. There was so much hype and so much weight. And I don't necessarily know if I agree that it still needs a 4, but a lot happened in the end, I'll admit, and I deep dived online right after.
Oh, of course she
did. And the theories got to my head before I did my review.
Of course she did.
I think I would definitely lower it a little more. There's a lot of things I loved, but it felt like as far as the pace of the other ones and where they were at, it kind of felt like she backtracked to world build.
Yeah.
After two, you know, like, you and we were in the middle of, you know, stuff in the second one, and it just felt like you went back to build everything up. We already know all this. Yeah. It was nice to see a different perspective, but you didn't have to go backwards to show us.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I do want to really quickly add, which I didn't touch on in my spoiler-free section, that she did expand the world in ways that I thought were very interesting, if not actually 100% necessary for the plot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I thought it was annoying.
Really, I did like it. I loved it. And I think that was part of the reason, like, I gave it such a high review, because even though I was mad she went backtrack to worldview, I did love some, like, certain parts.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And that was what really, like, even though I'm mad in terms of where it left the plot and, you know, the progression, I felt like a third book should have done. And the size of it, you know, I still did love what I got to do.
Yeah, dude. Oh my god.
All right, I can tell everyone is itching. So here is your final warning. We are heading into spoiler territory once again for everything from Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, Onyx Storm, and anything Rebecca Yarros has ever said about this series, interviews, social media, all that good stuff. So if you haven't read them,
it's time to get out. Warning. Please.
Let's see you guys once you finish it. All right, you get 3, 2, 1. All right, if you're not gone, it's on you.
Rebecca, what the fuck? First, okay, I think we need to give our average rating.
Okay, yes. So that's what I was doing on my phone a few seconds ago. Between the three of us, that is an average of a 3.4 rating overall for this book.
Which seems really low.
For an Imperium series book.
Yeah, I would agree. The other books were a lot better, guys.
Oh, yeah.
A lot better.
I think all of our opinions, right? This is everyone's least favorite?
Yeah. Yes, and I was so excited, okay? So, you know what? I'm just going to start. I'm sorry, guys. I have a lot to fucking say, so I'm going to start, okay?
Okay.
Let's start with the characters, okay? Wow, I really fell in love with some of these characters. I know I'm, like, ready to complain, but, like, with my likes about this book, I fell in love with a lot of these characters, okay? I've always been a big Bodhi fan, but, like, I really I really like Bodhi.
Okay.
So I really liked the Bodhi stuff. I really liked the Riddick or Ryduck. You know what?
I think Riddick.
I think it's Riddick.
Sure. Yeah, Riddick.
But I really loved his chapters. And you know what? Really loved getting to see the interactions between dragons and their
Their
riders. Yes. That was so cool. That was like a really nice touch. I know she said that she's never going to do a perspective from the dragons.
We can fight about that.
This was cool. This was really cool. Like, we got to see a lot of the dragons and their, like, relationships, which we didn't see before. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really interesting to me.
Sure.
I hate the Dark Wielders.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. I think the girl...
This is the first I've heard this review. This is wild.
Yeah, I know. So, I think the, what is her name? I hate her so much.
Theophany.
I can't stand her. I think she's annoying. Like, I just don't like the way that she wrote this character. I feel like for someone who's supposed to be so ancient, okay, and who has been practicing magic forever, why would you make her like that? Why would you make her so annoying?
She's very childish.
Right? She's childish!
I'm better than my brother.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are crazy, but I actually thought Theophany was so interesting.
No.
It's not that I don't think she's interesting, because I do in terms of I felt like she gave the world to Violet.
Yeah.
Even as far as characters, because I don't particularly love Violet. I think she's very immature.
Okay, now that's, yeah.
I think it's, you know what I mean? I think it's kind of mirror seeing with Theophany. And I think it's cool to see them together.
Yeah.
But, you know, that goes to say, if I don't love Violet, obviously I don't love Theophany.
Yeah.
Okay, but hold on. Because Violet's wearing y'all. Violet. Babe.
Violet.
You didn't know she was a storm wielder? You didn't know? You just thought it was only lightning? Are you fucking kidding me? She put her in a tornado in the very beginning of the book when we fought Thorndyne. What are you doing? How didn't you know?
Did you figure it out right away?
Yes.
I did not.
I was like, well, this is stupid. I was so pissed. I was like, yeah. Okay. And she's like, you can have signets. And hers is lightning, like me. I'm like, no, she's like your mother. And when they talk about that at the end, like, so you're saying, like, no, she's supposed to be like Violet. No, she's not. She's like the mom.
Yeah.
She's like the general. Like,
which I see, but I feel like in terms of characters and you know what I mean? Like, in terms of characters and matchup, you know, the book is laid out for, and Violet's the one who's fighting her. You know,
yeah, but don't
not
they,
her mom.
Don't they
so
say?
Even though their signets are the same as far as characters, you know?
Yeah, but
it's them two going at each other.
There's
see,
an age
I don't know,
here.
But this is leading into theory territory, all right? I have a theory. I believe that the general, for the longest time, I thought it was her dad. I'm no longer, like, I think Asher's actually dead. I think that the general is Naolin. I think, you know, the Brennan's undisclosed partner, whether or not they're together. I think the general is Naolin, and I think Naolin was a Siphon, right? Like, we know that about him. I think he's going to kind of be the answer to Violet in some way. Like, he's going to have access to raw power. Like, in the end, Dane says that Sloane is life. That's what her signet is. I feel like he, in some way, is going to be that counter. But Violet is unique in that she has access to all of this raw form of power as a result of being attached to her Irid, to Andarna. So, like, that's where I think it's going. I think their personalities did vibe, but I have issues with Theophany. I liked her personality, and I liked the way she had, like, almost banter with Violet and the way she kind of, like, teased her and, like, made it so she always seemed like she was a step ahead. But I think you're right. She did seem immature for a person who's supposed to be hundreds and hundreds of years old. But I feel like she was a plot device to introduce the idea of, like, a priestess being vulnerable to different powers other than the alloy hilts and daggers. I don't know. It's none of it was clean and tidy. Like, it was all a little messy for me. And I don't know. I went a whole ass ramble there.
I wish you guys could see my face right
now. I think most of that book was
people on YouTube can. I hate her. I'm sorry. I for someone who's supposed to be doing, like, great work for the Dark Wielders, and, like, that's their weapon, like, what are you doing?
What time are we?
You know what I think is, like, this really is interesting? The fact that this entire series is about Violet and Zayden, and this whole time we've been yapping, which I know isn't long, he hasn't even come up yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he's such a major part of this book. Like, the entire plot of this
that's
book is
part.
Fixing him.
That's where we get in the romance.
Yes.
So.
Like, the entire plot of this book was based around fixing his venenism. I don't know if that's the right term. Fixing him being a venom. And, like, he doesn't feel that important other than, like, as a guy who's pushing forward Violet's story to me.
He almost feels like a test dummy.
Yeah. Can you explain what that means to people who may not know?
It's like the kind of like non-important but important person, or, you know, that you experiment with. So it felt like, you know, she was kind of like, I'm going to save you because I have to, and I'm going to figure this out. But it, you know, it didn't feel like there was a whole lot of intention as far as, you know, I love you and we're going to be together and I'm doing this because I love you. She almost made it sound like she owed him.
Like, yeah,
it was
I felt
lost
like
a little bit.
Their relationship in this book seemed like a little forced and kind of annoying to me. Like, my God, why do I have so many bad things to say? I feel like it was really just like she has like this hero complex where she can fix everything. And, you know, like I think we talked about it before where it just shows like that she's naive. Like, she's naive. She's young. And she thinks that, like, there's a cure.
Well, to be fair, she is, what, 22 in this
She
book?
Is. She is. But you would assume that someone who's so well-read and someone who has, like, a knowledge background, who's also been training in a war college.
Yeah,
like,
by this book, the amount of things that you've been through.
Right. You can't still be this optimistic. Right. Yeah. Like, you have to grow up. You have to, like, I don't know. I just felt like with someone who is so knowledgeable and is, like, we like to call her naive, but she's also, like, incredibly smart. She's incredibly, like, just, she has been evolving, but, like, this book just felt like I'm reading a child. Like, yeah. A child's thought process. Like, this is insane. And you know what? This stems, like, a little bit deeper, where it was like, he loves me. He won't do that. He loves me. Like, he's not going to do that because he loves me. Well, like, that's not enough. He's a grown man. Okay. I know we're talking about, like, a fictional character here, but, like, he's a grown man, and really, like, this is just something that stems just in real life too. Like, they're not gonna do things for you. Like, if it's in him, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna bring this into, like, when couples have, like, depression or, like, anxiety, and they think, like, oh, my partner's gonna, like, fix that. Like, I can fix that. Like, I can fix it. They're not going to be sad for me. No, that's not how it works, you dummy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she, like, meant to do that, but that's what it was, like, very much giving me. Like, he has this, like, impulse, this need to, like, do these things, and she's just like, no, he loves me too much to do that. No, man. No.
And she, like, she said, like, the way she acted and the things she said were so, like, counteractive.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to save him. I'm going to save, you know, the kingdom. I'm going to save this. I'm going to save that. But at the same time, you have no respect for the fact that this is his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You are second. He doesn't owe you as much as he owes these people.
Yep.
The things that he's been through for them before you were ever around.
Mm-hmm.
And she has no respect for that. You should be holding that up. You should be, you know, the whole book, he's trying to tell her, like, we have to plan for when I'm gone. And she's just like, you're not going to be gone.
So while I hear you, and from a logical standpoint and, like, just a practical one, you're absolutely right. But that's definitely been the one, like, standout thing about Zayden. The thing that, like, truly makes him a morally gray character is that that's never been his thing. He's never been like, ah, yes, Tyrandor and my people come first. It's always been Violet is first. I answer to Violet first. I answer to her before the king. And, like, regardless of whether or not you agree with that, that's always been his thing. So I'm a little against you in that. But
She put her finger up at me,
so I stole her finger. So, no, but, like, another thing for Violet is, and I said this to you guys before, Violet is one of those characters, it's a huge trope in a lot of, like, romantasy and fantasy books that the protagonist is always described as this brilliant or clever woman. Violet actually feels like one to me. She comes up with clever solutions. She never takes, like, the path you expect her to. But this book made me rethink that a lot. Like, there were definitely some sections where I was absolutely like, this is a brilliant solution. Like, the whole thing, and I forget what the name of the island is, Hidotis. On Hidotis, the Knowledge Island, where she comes up with that, like, counter-poison plan. That was brilliant. That was completely out of the box. And that's something that I would expect out of this, as Zayden would call her, brilliant fucking woman that we've watched for three books now and, like, grow into her own power. But, like, the whole thing, back to her naivety? Yeah. To her being naive, like, it felt so frustrating for her not to accept that Zayden is a Venon and is not in full control of himself at the moment. Like, love is wonderful, and you do have to suspend some reality here because it's a romanticy book. Like, love conquers all and everything, but she's written such a gritty world that you expect a bit more verisimilitude, for lack of a better term.
I feel like she did that with more than one character in this book, too.
Yeah.
I feel like I very much thought that Mira was strong. She stood on business. She's always been a strong writer. Mm-hmm. Always been for the mission. And she was so petty in this book. And I understand, like, the family stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not taking you to ground. Like, I'm not. Like, come on, bitch. Like, come on. Like, the world's gonna end.
I'm gonna fight you on this one, too. So, hold on, wait, because I need to go back. Talking stick and you deserve okay. So I didn't like Violet since Fourth Wing. I had issues. I talked to you about it. Okay, like, she has grown on me a wee bit. Zayden is not Violet first. Zayden is Scale first.
No,
and we see that at the end of this book. Okay. We see that in the end of this book because they even say it. They say it multiple times that before anyone, and even in like those little paragraphs that they give you, like before the actual chapter starts, it says that the rider's first like duty is to their dragon. And like we see that at the end of the book.
That was something else that I didn't love about Violet in this one. I don't think she respected him in scale.
Yeah, you know what? Hold on. Here's like what really makes me upset about Violet. Like, she was so quick to turn on Brennan. Or not Brennan, I'm sorry. Dane. She was so quick to turn on Dane, right? And, like, everything Dane did annoyed her. And, like, she learned that she needed to keep Dane, like, at a distance. And she was doing that in, like, a self-preservation way, right? Her closest friend since childhood. She's keeping him at an arm's distance for self-preservation. Zayden becomes Venom, and she's taking no steps to protect herself. That makes no sense. She's been shown for the past two books that everyone is out to kill her. Everything is not as it seems. Like, her brother is alive. She didn't know that. Her family, like, donated her or, like, commit. What did they say? How did they say it when they, like, oh my gosh, what's the word?
Yeah, like, it's not committed, but
it's something we'll have to
promise her to, like, yeah. So she's devoted. I think that's it. So she's like, all of these things and all of the closest people to her, except for Mira,
right,
have betrayed her. Like, all of these people that are so close to her. And she's been able to distance herself from these people that have been really close to her before. So now Zayden, in terms of, like, self-preservation, she just has none. She has no thoughts. And you would think, too, with, like, her dragons, like, being tied to her, that she would put her dragons first and want to keep herself safe in terms of self-preservation when it comes to Zayden, and she doesn't do that. And that just, like, it just...
And that's something, like, I kind of... Like, I feel like she's such a selfish character. And that's why I can't love her. Because I just, like, it's always about you.
Yeah.
It's always about you. Like, everybody should have stayed for you. Everybody should have protected you. You have no problem that Sigel and Zayden aren't speaking most of the book. Because he's for you. He's on your side. He's with you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like, you never, it almost like she went through it when she got tortured and her communication got cut off
with the dragons.
And admittedly, that was early, you know. But I kind of wished when they left that she had lost communication.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else did. Because you're so fucking selfish.
Yeah.
Like, you need to know what it feels like to have that lifeline cut off.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't know. I think you make a point that she definitely doesn't think about him and Sigil's relationship being different, like, other than a passing thought. And I don't know if it's because she understands why Sigil's pissed, because she's obviously pissed too, but not to the same extent, because she basically just doesn't fucking care this whole book. But I think I have to backtrack and say, you're right, Gammy. He is Sigil first, even if he doesn't realize it. I think that's the difference. Is he knows Violet first.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize that Sigil is first. And I do think it's an important point that while he turned Venom for Violet to save her, he turned Asim at the end of this book for Sigel. Yeah. And he left Violet. And in doing so, he's essentially hurting her. The one thing that Violet said would be the one thing that would be, like, her hard limit of when he is now dangerous.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be really interesting in the coming books to see if she recognizes that he is no longer the man that she fell in love with, at least in some capacity.
And to backtrack on your point about Violet being selfish, she is, except to her dragons. Like, if you notice, with Tarm, like, she doesn't want the easy way out with him. She doesn't want him to seem disgraced. She doesn't want him to, like, lower his shoulder because she doesn't want him to be, like, looked down upon. And with Andarna, I mean, she's ready to go on this fucking ridiculous goose chase for these Irids. Like, that just... Andarna really pissed me off this book. Violet really pissed me off this book. I just was not... I think Tarn was, like, my only favorite character. Like, not my favorite, but Tarn was just, like, I love you.
Okay, we have to bring up Riddick.
Okay.
Talk about my favorite character in this book. Seriously?
He talks like a third.
Oh, shit. I fuck like a third. Oh my God, I can't. That was amazing. But no, so I always have a habit of falling for the comedic relief in any book or show I watch. Like, I'm a big Dylan O'Brien fan because I love Stiles and Teen Wolf. Like, I love those characters, and Riddick has always been that. But it was really cool and terrifying to see him kind of develop into more of a three-dimensional character, to, like,
see that, yes, he has the jokes, and yes, he's hilarious, but, like, there's more to him than that. He's actually brilliant. He's actually incredibly powerful in his own right, despite having what's considered a normal signet or a common signet with his ice wielding. Like, and he cares about his people.
Oh, he does.
So deeply. Yeah. He cares about Violet.
This group, like, when you really look at the things that they can do and the way they're looked at in this college, like, it's almost like there's a bottom plot line of, like, civil change, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's ever looked at that signet as so strong, but then we covered up and we see what he did, and it's just like, everybody's like, no one who does that should be able to. And they really, like, they change things in terms of how signets are looked at, because it really, you're only as strong as you make it. Mm-hmm. You're only as strong as you work for it.
Yeah.
And it shows with all these characters who, like, every time they can do something new, it's like, how do you learn? And they're like, well, I was practicing, because, you know what I mean? Like, even when they're not in classes, they're like, I'm going to hone the signet.
Yeah.
And it really, like, it strengthens them as characters.
Oh, absolutely.
I loved every character except for our main ones. Like, I love her squad. I love her wing. Like, I love them. They're all incredible characters. I know they're, like, background characters. You know, they're supporting characters. Mm-hmm. But they really, like, shine in this book. They really shine. And I really liked it.
I don't like.
What?
We're gonna fight.
I don't know. I don't want to say I don't like her. I want to say, like, let's put it this way. When she showed everybody's point of view with their dragons, when hers came up, I was like, we'll make it through.
Oh my god! No!
So, I'm the biggest Imogen stan.
Yes! Me too!
Oh my god, this breaks my heart.
Cool.
I think she's such a strong, badass character while still being, like, incredibly engaging, like, not too standoffish. I just fucking love her, and admittedly, I'm a sucker for aesthetics, and, like, I love the way she's described in this book. Like, I kind of wanted that in her pink and get a side shave.
And the beautiful little gay queen that she is, I'm just...
Not gay, she's in Garrick.
Yeah, I don't know. She gives me bi vibes. Okay,
that's true. That could be possible.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think I ever
she
bought
gives
into the Garrick
thing. Queer energy.
Yeah, maybe.
But
maybe it's just me projecting.
Oh my god! The chapter she literally talks about, like, Quinn's big thing while she's dying is to say, "Tell Garrick you love him."
Yeah, but that was giving gay as well. Them two together.
It was almost like, I don't know, I never got the Garrick thing from her.
Yeah.
I think I always got it with
Quinn. I feel like that's a little formed.
Like,
right.
Maybe Quinn has a girlfriend, and maybe there was some, you know, like, maybe I read too many romances, and I read, you know, Into the Lines too much, but maybe, like, at some point, she couldn't choose between both.
Yeah.
You know, and Quinn was like, you know, it's time to move on. Like, if you can't pick, I can't wait.
Yeah,
even
saying.
In the end, you
know, Quinn's gay.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I still love you, you know, and I had to move on.
Yeah.
But don't lose both of us. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
chase
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
I mean, there's no like, chance now, but...
Eric!
Rest in peace.
Listen... We haven't touched on this yet, but well, yeah, you said Verdict. My guy in this series is Garrick, so like I don't know.
Yeah,
because I don't like her. So maybe that's why I don't like her.
Oh god, that is it. How did we not see this,
bro? Literally, my cousin growing up. This is only barely related. My cousin growing up hated Wendy from Toy Story because she loved Woody and she thought that they were dating, and her life exploded when my mother told her as an adult that Woody dated Little Bo Peep in Toy Story and not Wendy. Her whole life was a lie.
She was a hoe. Sorry.
Oh my god. You can be listening to that. Like, don't like that. Just because.
I don't know. I just, like, there was never any point, like, other than, like, I don't know. Like, you guys are talking about her aesthetic, and I agree. Like, it's everything you want to see in this kind of series. But, I mean, can you really pinpoint a scene where she was kind of like,
I think
you're that bitch? Because for me, there wasn't one.
Well, first of all, her loyalty to Zayden, her unquestioning loyalty to Zayden. Like, she didn't trust Violet for a damn. And she so quickly was like, I will spend every hour with her in the gym. I will make her strong for you. Absolutely. Like, her loyalty to her people is incredible. So So there's that, ma'am. Okay? She spends like every hour with her in the gym, though. Like, and she's the one doing that. Yeah, and she hated her. She hated her.
Yeah.
And she's like strictly doing it for Zayden.
But
and,
I don't like, feel like she ever hated her either. She hated the idea.
That's fair.
She didn't know hated that she hated everything her. That they all went through. Mm-hmm. And he might end up with the general who hurt all of them. He might end up with her daughter. I don't think she ever really hated Violet because she didn't know her.
I don't know.
I think she hated the idea of what fair. She could
I think she had reasons to hate her because I hate her.
So I think
well,
she
we had know her. We were in her head the whole book. That's not the same.
But, you know.
I don't know. I don't hate her. I'm indifferent.
Yeah.
She didn't stick out to me.
Oh,
you know who I want to talk about from this book? I want to talk about Sawyer.
Okay.
So, Rebecca Yarros has gone on record saying that Sawyer is the character who gets most overlooked and who she finds the most interesting. And really? I kind of have questions. Because, so absolutely, like, his whole journey, this book, despite it being only on the page for, like, a short percentage of this book, I thought it was actually really interesting. And I actually really enjoyed his relationship with Violet in this. Because him having to learn how to adapt to his new reality, not having a leg, and, like, relating to Violet in that her dragon has to make concessions for her to ride yeah. because her body doesn't work in the same way that other riders do. Like, that doesn't make her any less of a rider, and it works the same way for Sawyer. Yeah. So I actually really liked watching that relationship develop. But at the same time, for somebody who you say should be looked at more, I feel like it's quite indicative that what you intend to get across in your writing is not the same thing that your audience is picking up on. Discuss. Yeah.
I don't know. I like Sawyer, and I don't know
because she's written a lot, so she's
not a rookie, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it feels like she hooked on that for a second, but that really meaningful, you know. Like mm-hmm. you're not less, you know, Violet told me not less.
So sweet
because you have to do this.
Yeah,
you're still a person. You're still a writer.
I loved that.
You know, you step on is still there,
mm-hmm.
but it was like she. She caught it for Rebecca. She had it, you know?
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it.
It felt like it was supposed to be about him, but it never came back to him. So in the end, it was more about Violet.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's so true.
I also... I thought he was being a bit of a baby.
Okay.
Crickets.
I didn't want to be the dick.
Bro.
He's an amputee.
They make fake legs, bitch. Stop. Like, what? Like,
I feel like he gave me Dane vibes in this one. Yeah. He was too honorable. Yeah. He was too honorable.
No, yeah. I could never.
I'm like, too good to
okay, but it's right. You support Violet so much, but Violet has had to make these, like, concessions, and she's had to make sacrifices, and she doesn't do things traditionally either. And you're just like, my leg's gone. And that's crazy, bro. Like, you're not missing...
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to fight you both on this one because, like, there's definitely points where it feels whiny as a reader, but, like, they talk about it, how there's never been a writer who, like, continued to be a writer after losing a limb like that. Like, he does have to completely, like, carve his own place out for himself amongst the writers and, like, allow himself to make those concessions. And I thought that was a fun journey to go on. I can understand why, as a reader, you would find his sections whiny, but I don't necessarily agree that he actually was.
I'm like, stop being a bitch, bro. You only lost your leg.
I don't think he wasn't whiny. I think it was fair.
Yeah.
You know, I think what he went through, he was allowed to be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with everything else going on, it just kind of made him unappealing. You know? It's just like everybody's out here damn near death. You know? Like, you're out here eating by giant cats.
Legit. You know? Like, yeah. And you just lost your leg. Just shut up. Put the prosthetic on and get the fuck back in there because we need you. Like, now's not the time.
It was, I don't know. I think you like when a character, like a man, has honor, but there's a limit.
You know? Yeah, like, there's some point where
being too honorable is just, it's just, you're just not appealing anymore.
And you're not helping anyone. You're not helping anyone. By you sitting there having, like, a tiny little pity party by yourself, you're not helping the squad at all. So, like, yeah, you're dead weight, bro. Like, I think we're at, like, such a pivotal time. We have people that are actually, like, going out on, like, actual missions and fighting an actual war. And then there's him.
My leg.
I think it was annoying, but it was deserved.
Yeah.
He was allowed to have that.
Yeah. Like, you know. Okay, sure. I know. I have both of my legs, okay? So I know that I'm saying this from a spot, like, you know.
It's just in comparison to the other characters. Like, yeah, you said, like, it just feels like...
People are going through real shit. Yeah. Like, can you...
You're not going to die. That's the bottom line. You're not going to die. And everybody else is out here damn near death. You know, like, these things have infiltrated the school at this point. Yeah. And you're just like, I'm going to lay helpless in this bed when they might already be here.
I'm going to argue that I feel like if I were in his position, I can't speak to this. I have no idea. But, like, I feel like he's probably more thinking, I don't want to be a liability than he is. Oh, what was me?
And pity parties are not an attractive trait.
Which is valid, but, yeah. I don't know. We'll agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's try. I was deserved, but I didn't like it.
I swear I am not ableist. Okay? I'm not. I just, like, we're in a war college. Like, you don't really have time to be sad.
Yeah. Okay, let's try and touch on the other sections from the Crocodile section. So now we've covered characters quite thoroughly, I believe. Let's talk about the atmosphere.
I better see more of that shit.
That shit. You're so right.
That is what I was looking for. Okay, that right there. And when he talked to Sloan, I was like, oh!
Eyes on me.
Oh. Yes. Like, that's what I was looking for. So how about you just in between writing the fourth book, just write us a little thing.
Just like a Sloan and Dean.
All right, what's
even
next?
Even if it's just fucking, yeah.
Okay.
That's valid.
Wattpad.
Yeah, Sloan. Where's the Wattpad artist?
Which I have dug into.
Attagirl. Okay, let's talk atmosphere. I have questions if you guys don't have initial thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so how immersed were you in this story?
That's a good question. Do you want to go first?
I couldn't put it down, but none of us gave it a high rating. I don't think it was the book. Mm-hmm. I think it was more of like the chase of the answers that I wanted, you know?
I'm so with you.
And I did love the traveling, mm-hmm. and I did, it just felt ill-placed. It just felt like it didn't go there.
Yes.
You know? But I loved it. I loved seeing the other people and the other places. And I just, it felt so awkward because it made the other books feel awkward because you never referenced anywhere else mm-hmm. this whole time.
Yeah.
And then it's like we're in between so many things and you're like, go.
Yeah.
Travel for a couple chapters.
The addition of the islands definitely gave me that. Like, she's mentioned other places and getting to, like, see them naturally in Iron Flame, like getting to see bits of Peromiel and getting to see Risha, like that felt natural. Seeing the islands felt like my world doesn't feel large enough. Let me add this. And while I think there's some really cool world building, like I love the idea that each island worships a different god, and there's some cool intrigue going on with the lack of magic, but Violet still being able to wield, even if she doesn't recognize it. Like, we're all in agreement, right?
Yeah.
She wielded on the War Island.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's interesting, but it, like you mentioned, it felt forced to me. Like, it felt like world building felt, first, I need a plot device to get us there. Not like, this makes sense for the plot, you know? Yeah.
Almost like she was filling it with something she forgot.
Yeah. I didn't feel very sucked in by this one. I wasn't very immersed. I struggled to get through this book, honestly. I mean, I was pretty busy, but there was no part, except for the very beginning, where I was just, like, sucked. Mm-hmm. And then once we finally met the Irids, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I had like these moments where I was like, really like on the edge of my seat. I'm like, oh my God. And then I was like, this is boring. And then kind of like really struggling through that. And then I would get to another point where I'm like, oh my God, like they found the Irids. Like, and I'm like freaking out about it. But then it was like a huge letdown. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, you're giving me whiplash. And I don't like this.
Yeah. It felt like she couldn't choose the characters and the setting or the storyline itself. And they're counterintuitive. They go together, but you can't hop between both. You can't give us one and then stop to give us the other. It's just pushing us out.
It just didn't flow well. I just don't think it flowed well.
And I'm hopeful because she was very upset. She, you know, said that she was very upset with having a timeline for this, the publishing and stuff. And, you know, it put pressure on her.
Yeah.
She's not going to for the fourth.
She's written.
So I have really high expectations for the fourth one. And if she crushes me, I will never buy another one.
And
you're a liar. I will buy five. But after that, I'm trying her romances? Hell no. Hell no. Because I can't believe in your writing if you're with no timeline, no publishers, and you still cannot get your shit together.
We're looking at you, George R. R. Martin.
Don't even. Let's cover his blog about sports reviews instead of his books, because honestly, he writes more. Sorry, I'm not doing this. Okay. But no, I'm with you and I'm not, because like I understand, like, she really struggled writing this book. She was very open with her struggle for writing this book. And she has written an incredible amount in a very short time.
Yeah.
And I can understand how that's stressful. Like, I'm not an author. Like, I haven't written any books, but I am a professional writer. Like, I write for a bunch of different stuff as part of my job. And I'm a D&D nerd. Like, I write a metric fuck ton. And I know I can't personally imagine writing an entire novel in a year. And they're not, like, small. So, like, that's crazy. And she wrote three year after year after year, and that's not even counting her series outside of all the Imperium. Like, she's written an incredible amount. So I can understand why that's exhausting and frustrating. But at the same time, like, she is so popular at this point. Like, this series is so incredibly popular. Like, it's literally half the reason why Barnes & Noble is opening more stores in the coming years, because this series is so popular. Like, she could have pushed her timeline a little bit, I think. And I feel like her writing suffered a little bit in this book as a result. And I know we have different opinions on this. I know you guys are, like, chomping at the bit for the next book. And I am, too. But I'm almost excited for her to have a longer break between the third book and the fourth book, because I think her writing will ultimately be better if she feels comfortable, like, doing what she needs to get the story where it belongs, versus, like, where this had a lot of pacing issues for me and, like, things felt disjointed.
Yeah. That's why I just feel like if we wait, you know, if you are actually given that time and you don't deliver this time, it's just kind of like, at this point, it's speaking to your writing.
Because Fourth Wing was really incredible. And, like, when you look at, like, that is the first book, like, that was a breakout novel. Like, that was incredible.
That was so good. So she has it in her. And I think, I know we're talking atmosphere, but this really plays into writing as well. Like, we're also addressing writing here. It just did feel rushed. You can tell that she's on a crunch. And she's Rebecca fucking Yaris. Like, push it back, babe.
I know. She was probably, like, stuck in a contract that she could not break.
I know.
But, like, her writing suffered for it. And I'm almost, like, I almost want her to rewrite it in the future. Like, when she has more of that behind her name, like, when the series is done. And, like, to get the Onyx Storm that she would have wanted to written if she had had the time and space to do it.
Yeah.
Because there is a good story in here somewhere. We just didn't get the full version.
Right.
Okay. So with that being said, unless you guys have anything to add to Atmosphere. Cool. The next thing we are going to talk about was writing. And I think we covered that fairly well. I think we all agreed it was pretty disjointed. And, like, it had pacing issues, really. That's my biggest thing with books. Like, I read a lot of high fantasy shit. Like, I'm used to a lot of boring prose about things that drive normal people nuts. But, like, you have to find ways to make the boring sections of books that you feel like you need to have for your plot to advance still interesting for the reader. And I think that's something she doesn't do well in this book. Like, I couldn't tell you what happened for the large chunk in the middle of the book.
Yeah.
I know they went to the islands at the end, and I know in the beginning she formulated Quest Squad.
And at the end?
What the fuck? With the ending.
We'll get to that. I want to do that at the end because I feel like it's not. Okay. Anyone want to add to the rating?
No.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about the plot.
Okay, so the plot. We've already talked about pacing issues. The plot kind of got lost a little bit. It felt rushed. It felt like things were put in like random places that didn't make too much sense. I will say that, like you said, like the beginning, formulating that was good. I think we did some pretty good world building as far as like the Isles. I just think that we could have made it better. Like, I think that could have been so much better. I thought it was really cool. Her dad leaving journals. That was really cool. That was, like, a really cool addition. And, like, having it be, like, she needed to figure out these spells. And they were saying it in our faces in the very beginning that, like, a rider's first love is their dragon. Mm-hmm. They said it in the very beginning.
I had some beef with that, too. I was a little upset about that.
What do you mean?
That then journals were mentioned, and you were only there for figuring out the first one, and it was just kind of like, oh, we figured out
the rest. Oh, they figured out the rest.
And it was like, I really thought that would be so cool.
I wanted to add
journals.
Yeah. It just felt like, I don't know, it felt like a part of Violet that we should have gotten but lost. Because is supposed to be her thing right now.
Are we talking about Asher's journals? Her dad's journals?
Her dad left.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we get the first one where it's her mom's dragon. That's the name, right? So, like, we got that. And that was a great tell for the end of the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I think you're saying
that she could use that as a good device.
Right. And so I think that was great. The fight scene at that shop, though, that was so dumb.
Yeah.
That was so dumb. It was so unnecessary. Like, everyone can see that that's Violet Soaringale. Like, just stop. Please stop. Like, I just felt so unnecessary to me. And I think they could have made that so much better. And then, like, the riddles that she had to answer about, like, in order to get the books, Violet had to answer these riddles to the, like, to the old woman there. And I just think that was stupid, too. Like, they weren't even, like, challenging. Like, I would have liked to see her flex her brain.
That's why the journals made me mad, because it felt like she's such a smart character, and she did well to show us most of that. But then you had an opportunity to really let us see it in action, and you missed it.
Okay, we're going to fight. First of all, I'm finding this funny. I'm noticing a trend of you guys rating this book so much higher than me, but I'm defending it to you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, you mentioned the fights being unnecessary. I understand, yeah, maybe, but I wasn't mad at them. I think there was too many, like, at different points of the book. But I actually liked seeing how complete badass these guys are. Like, these are trained killers. And seeing them in comparison to people who aren't trained at Basgaiev, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, was actually really interesting to me. And I feel like it made the Venin all the more terrifying for it. Because these badass fighters who, like, sweep through dozens and dozens of average people, like, have trouble taking on one Venin. Like, I thought that was actually kind of a cool juxtaposition that you wouldn't have otherwise seen.
Yeah.
Okay. And the questions. The questions we're going to fight about, because I actually loved those questions. I feel like a lot of people would have expected, like, just pure knowledge-based questions. Like, do you know this, this, and this fact? Like, the kind of shit you get in middle school versus what you got, which are the kind of questions you see in, like, university and college. Like, how do you analyze this? What are your own thoughts on this information as it was presented to you? So, like, she was asked the question about what was it that she believed. Let me see if I can remember exactly. What did she believe that was supposed to be provided to the Kravlins during the second Kravlin uprising, the one that was hidden from history, essentially? Like, she had to draw her own conclusions. And you could tell very early on when she first read it, she figured it out, but she wasn't happy about it because it said a lot about Navarre being willing to give up dragon eggs, because that's what it was. They were willing to give up dragon eggs.
I didn't have really that much beef with the question. I don't know. They didn't bother me that much. That scene didn't stick out that special to me.
Unless, like, these things that she asked come back in the next book, like, I don't care. I think it's stupid. Like, right now, they're not very big. Like, it's just, like she said, like, she doesn't remember.
Yes, they are.
I don't mind the questions as much as I minded the journal. The questions, I think, like Liz said, it made sense that they're personal. Yeah. Because you don't want, you know, he was a scribe, he taught so many people.
It makes sense.
He didn't have so many people that are trying to think the same way as her because he's taught her whole life.
Yeah.
So the personal questions made sense.
Yeah.
The journals, on the other hand, fuck you for saying that.
Really quick with this plot, okay? Really quick.
Oh my god.
No, so I was just going to say, all right, keep talking, because I forgot.
I got so upset, and I forgot. So, about the dragon eggs, and you saying you didn't even remember, you don't think it's going to come up. Do you guys remember? It was like a throwaway line at the end of the book, at the very end of the book. She mentions that there are 6 dragon eggs missing.
No.
I don't remember that, but I did think the dragon eggs, I thought they were going to come back up anyway, because it's when they went to the other vales, remember it at the end, but when they went to the other vales, that was something.
The other aisles
were like, you know, we want a dragon.
Yes,
so
that's
it was such a coveted thing that, you know, that, it felt like important.
Yep.
But it I don't know, it was just part of the way the writing was, so it felt so hectic. It was one of them things that it felt like I lost, you know?
So we definitely need to do like a theory episode on the Empyrean and what we think is coming for books 4 and 5. But I will just touch on my theory for what I think is coming in the next book. I think Garrick used his second signet, his distance wielding, to take 6 eggs from the Aurician hatching ground to one of those isles for aid as part of the deal. And then I think Bodhi is the brother, the Venon brother who went returned.
Oh my god.
And I think that Imogen erased her memory because this was a deal she made with Zayden as part of their wedding pact. Yeah. But she knew that she would be considered a traitor, not just to Navarre, but like to all dragonkind if it was known that she took part in this deal. But they knew that their aid was so necessary.
But I think that's what happened. That's my
theory. I don't really have a strong theory for what I think is coming. Honestly, I don't. The next book I think is going to be all about getting her memory back because it's almost like the plot of everything important in all of the books. Like, you know what you don't remember. You know what you don't remember. And it's all about, like, Violet, you know it, it's in there, but you don't remember.
I swear to God, though, if the next book is like a woe is me, I don't have my memories, and I don't have my husband, and he's ASIM, I'm gonna scream. Okay, like, I can't do it. Yep. I can't do it.
Yeah, okay. Actually, this kind of leads nicely into the next part of Call Pile, which is intrigue.
Who the fuck is the brother? Like, the Venon brother?
It's Bodhi.
Oh my god, no, stop.
Segment over.
Stop, no. Like, that, I was like, the whole time reading it, I was like, who is it? Oh my god, just like flipping the pages, like, who is it? I need to know who it is. And, you know.
She said in an interview, who wasn't there at the end.
And who always thinks that he's lacking something, that whatever he has been given isn't enough.
When I heard that, I thought Mira. Because how hard they fought in this book, that Mira felt like her dad didn't think she was.
Are they all called brothers?
No, I don't think so.
Are they all called brothers? Yeah,
it's an interesting theory, and I would be with you if you said sister.
We have to look and see if Theophany, right? That's how you're saying it. If she's called anything like particular, because they might just refer to the ball as
her. I've only ever heard of men.
She fought a female dark wielder in the first book.
Did she?
At Athane. Is that where they fought Athane?
Maybe. Yeah, I would like to look back and see if they say, because that would be a crazy thing if it was Mira. That would be
I don't know if I believe it, but it was something that if she was trying to do it, she did it. You know what I mean? Like, if she was trying to confuse you, she did it.
Yeah.
Because there were so, like, every time Mira was around, it was harped so hard on how her dad didn't think she was around.
It's true.
For intrigue as well. What I think we could have done better, Rebecca, is when Andarna left and severed the bond. Hello. Oh my god, I was so intrigued. I was just like insane. Like, oh my god, what is going to happen right now? Like, are we serious? Is she really doing this? How long is she going to be gone? I personally think that she should have left Andarna and gone the entire book. For the entire rest of the book. I think we should have gotten to see Violet navigate that grief. And then really get just slammed at the end of the book with, like, what happened with Zayden. Like, I wish Andarna would have been gone longer. Because that was so interesting to me. I felt like that had such great potential. And, like, I just wanted more. Oh, my God. With the
it
whole
would have changed the end, though. Because Andarna was the one who saved them when the thing was coming down. So it would have changed the end. But I don't know if
I think there were ways to do it.
I don't think you're wrong that she should have waited to bring her back.
Yeah.
And real quick,
but I wasn't. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the earrings.
Fuck the earrings. What do you mean? You're like depressed. You're upset. You're disappointed in Andarna. You left her in war territory. You wanted her to not like
you. And what kills me is you literally say like, "We came to see if you were like them because we don't like them."
The earrings.
And then you're mad. Yeah, she's like them. After you just said you left her with them for all this time, what did you think she was going to do?
Literally. They feel like the epitome of a symbol for privilege.
Yes.
But in a way that's so frustratingly, like, beating you over the head with it. Yeah. Like, oh, well, you're supposed to be peaceful. Can you imagine leaving them in a war-torn society?
She wants to be this. She just know.
Bitch, you're supposed to be this wise species that have evolved beyond, like, being a warfaring dragon kind. Like, you're supposed to be so evolved. How do you not understand that there is a difference between nature and nurture, and they both have an effect on children? Like,
and they really spoke to, like, the I don't know if I'm thinking of the right word, but, like, the government there.
Yeah! You know?
Like,
yeah.
The Irids were the equal.
Yeah. So stupid.
Like, we're so much better than everybody. Everybody should just know how to do it like us. We're not going to support anybody who doesn't. And we shouldn't have to tell
you. Yeah. Right. And you know what I thought was strange? It's that Andarna waited to hatch for Violet. Mm-hmm. So what is that dynamic there? What did, like, if the Irid was waiting to hatch for Violet, like, then what? Yeah. Violet's not necessarily peaceful, and she was supposed to go to the Scribe Quadrant. So, like, what exactly did they think was going to happen? Was this already, like, destined that she was going to wake for Violet? And then if that's the case, then why did you guys think just leaving her there would make her peaceful? I don't fucking understand it.
I think there's definitely something we still don't understand about Violet's past.
Like, there's something there about her, like, being dedicated. That's the word, dedicated.
Dedicated. About her being dedicated to the war goddess whose name I can't remember right now.
Dune.
To her being dedicated to Dune that affects her powers in some way. Something about the Irid powers. But, like,
I don't know what's going on with that situation. The whole Irid thing just irritated the crap out of me. For them to be like, oh, well, this is the worst thing in the world. You failed miserably. Yeah. Fuck you.
What do you mean?
I know it was a test. To, like, 50 pages later, they're like, we've saved the world.
You're welcome. And Darna's back. It's all good.
Yeah.
We're here.
Frustrating.
Bitch.
That was really frustrating.
Yeah. That was, yeah. That felt like she wrote herself into a corner for the next book that we haven't seen yet. I feel like she needs them to be there early on for some reason. And she realized afterwards, like, shit, I set myself up for failure here. They need to come back for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some don't work for me there. Bother me. Alright, shall we move on?
Yeah.
Alright, so the next part is logic. That actually kind of tracks.
Logic of none. no. Okay.
I feel like these are really good questions. Can I ask them?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you able to follow the rules of the world?
Ooh. So the rules of the world essentially, like, are fight, to be a rider, to be a flyer, and really to just survive. And then, you know what, when we talk about rules specifically, when you talk about, like, these bargains and these deals that they made and all of the, like, politics going on, there were a lot of rules to follow, especially with the different isles and the way that they did, like, their laws and their, like, how they did things. It was really interesting to see how everyone else was so different. So I feel like, yeah, I followed the logic in a sense, seeing, like, I just thought it was so cool. With, like, them finding dolphins. I thought that was so
cute. I'm sorry, the Dolphinium?
Yeah.
I think they're traveling really related to them, too, rather than feeling like it. Like, it was a dystopian, you know, where they're from and stuff, but it really related them to what we see.
Yeah.
You know, the real, like I loved real. When they went to the beaches and stuff. You know, I pictured, like, palm trees and, like, clear blue water. And I'd love to see, like, almost picture, like, what they would be like in the sense.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, like I said, I loved all the aisle things. I just didn't like where she was.
I feel you. That's the one thing. The way I read that question is, like, can you follow the logic of, like, whatever the natural laws are in this world? So when I think of that, especially in fantasy books, I tend to think of the magic system first. And one thing I have to give Rebecca Yarros, like, all of the credit in the world for is even when we don't have, like, the blatant rules spelled out for us, like, I couldn't read out all the rules of how their magic works. You can tell that they follow the same consistent logic throughout, whether or not we understand it yet. And guessing at it based on what we know is so much fun. And honestly, I think that's why the series is so, like, popular, because theorizing about it is so much fun, because she's given us all these really fun breadcrumbs and they're consistent throughout, so you don't feel cheated out of anything. Like, I love that about this series and about her writing in general.
I would that's a really good interpretation of the question. I think that, yeah, I mean, like, her magic, there are signets, they do follow rules. They do. And it's pretty consistent. You're right. The dreams for Violet
That was weird. I don't understand what's happening with that. I don't like it. I don't like it. Like, I don't like that she could do that. And then when Andarna was, like, not there, she could still be in people's dreams. So, like, what is going on with that?
She has said in interviews, though, that Violet Signet is only, like, 50%. Not done.
Less than that, right? For that segment?
I think it's meant to be confusing.
Yeah. Because I think she's going to be able to do a lot with the Irid. So, like...
And that's what it's sounding like from interviews and stuff, that what we think she is not what she is.
Yeah.
And she's really going to turn the tide when she finds out. And she has said, like, in the interview, how important her thing is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if it is just dreamwalking, like, I'm going to be annoyed. But I think that they're not dreams that Zayden's having. I think that they're visions. Mm-hmm. I'm going more vision route. And we don't know if the general and, like, the dark wielders can also communicate through dreams like that. And for him to be having consistently the same nightmare over and over again, like, I don't know. That might actually be a vision and not necessarily a nightmare that she's able to get into, you know?
Yeah.
With her being so, you know, they kind of bring up and almost attach her to this god, you know, you could almost visualize prophecy.
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about with this book.
I think the gods are going to become more important.
I agree. So, really quick going back, I actually forgot to mention, I saw this really, really cool theory that I'm now a huge fan of. I saw this theory that the general, whoever they are, is a dreamwalker, or if that's a misnomer, like whatever the same kind of intensive that Violet is, he is the same thing. So, the fact that we're seeing him, like, walking into Zayden's dreams, and Violet isn't seeing him, and he's recognizing Violet, like, in them, is because they have the same intrinsic power, and I think that's cool as shit. Like, they're each other's answer.
Yeah.
That's another one I've seen I really like.
I think the line, like, with magic, like, in this world, like, everything is in balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think she did that really well.
Let me ask about the gods real quick, because you brought them up. So do you guys think that the gods are kind of, they're going to turn into, like, tangible beings that our characters interact with in some way, or do you think they're still, like, deities that are mentioned but not actually?
I'm gonna go blessed by gods and less gods present. I'm gonna go, like, this child was dedicated to Dune, like, she's going to be touched by Dune. That's my thought process.
I almost feel like that's where the dreams are gonna be important.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I think that's how it's gonna be, like, deceiving for us for a little bit about her being a dreamwalker.
Because it can have nothing to do with...
You know, like the dreams, like they almost seem like prophecies. Yeah. So I feel like the dreams for now could be...
It could be
the
less Andarna and Dune.
Yeah, that's okay. It's interesting. I have no idea myself. I just think it's a really fun question.
What do you think?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I love JRPGs when people fight gods. I think that's just so fun. But I don't necessarily think that's where she's going with this. But I do think there is something more to, like, being dedicated to a goddess or being, like, a high priestess or whatever it is. I think that has its own power to it. And that's mentioned in one of the epigraphs, too, that the closest you get to the power of the gods is being fully dedicated to that god. The only other way to do it is being rider. And I think it's interesting that Violet is... As far as we know in the history of this world, she's the first one who's ever been half dedicated to a goddess and is a rider. So maybe that's part of what gives her unique powers. I don't know. You know, I'm just, like, going off the rails.
But. Oh, that's okay. That's a really good theory.
Thank you.
Our theory episode for this is
going to be so fun. Okay. Let's go to the last method. Not method. The last part of the call file system is enjoyment. Overall, did you guys enjoy this book?
I did. Yeah. I did, because it's in this world, okay?
Yeah.
I enjoyed this book because it's in the Empyrean series, because I'm surrounded by some of my favorite characters, because we're exploring this magic, and we have these theories, right? That means that we're, like, actively putting the effort in to, like, read and critically think about, like, what we're reading. So, yeah, I, like, overall enjoyed it. While I have critiques... It just wasn't perfect for me, but overall, like, yeah, I definitely enjoyed the book. I did. Hated the ending. Ending is trash. Hated it. But there were so many, like, good, enjoyable moments in this book for me that I did enjoy.
Nice. What about you, Pooh?
I don't want to say I didn't enjoy it, but I don't know. I couldn't put it down, but not always for the right reasons. You know what I mean? I have a very much love-hate relationship.
Like, me too.
Like you said, it's important because of the characters, and I loved all of the character building. Like, I think that is one thing
for Imogen
that was so strong here. I mean, it was nice to see, you know, just to see. And I think it's important because I think it would have been, it would have made Quinn's death not as important as if they had just said it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that was, you know, and maybe that was just the opening for her and Garrett finally getting here. Which, you know, like, we're getting on before.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I would read the shit out of that sex scene.
So I don't know. I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy it, but I don't know. Like, I enjoyed it, but I didn't at the same time.
I feel like
even
fair.
The parts that I didn't completely enjoy all of it, but I was hooked in enough that
Yeah, you need to work on your reading system.
You guys, you both read this book of four. I read it 2.5, and I defended the book to you the whole time.
I never changed my rating after, but I rated it right after I read it when everything was so fresh and exciting in my head. And then remember rating five deep dives into
that. Yeah.
And read like four pages. So, like,
change the brain chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, like, with us talking more about it, I don't know. I don't.
What would you change your rating to?
I think I would be generous and give her 3.
Okay.
Even though I hated the way she did some things, I still love them. You know.
Yeah.
I love the world. I just feel they were ill-placed. You
know? Yeah.
I love seeing all the relationships. Just felt like this isn't.
She deserves a 4 from me. I'm so strong on this 4 because she made me feel such raw emotion for Mira. When they almost killed her, I was sobbing. Yes. Okay, I was crying. When I thought Tarn died in the beginning of the book, I was like, no fucking way. Is she going to kill Tarn? Like, I was distraught.
There was a lot of death calls
like,
in this.
Yeah, there was a lot. Like,
and we already love these characters. Too, so
I
it's
know.
It's not like you did that in this book. You know?
It was kind of funny.
And I have to be fair to that.
You did. Look, I am the most emotional drama baby. Like, my partner will tell you, I cry everything. Like, he literally sat next to me in book while I didn't cry for Mira.
No.
I didn't cry for Mira.
You
I didn't cry for
Tarn.
I didn't cry for Tarn because I knew he was safe because it was the beginning of the book, and I don't think she would do us a dirty name. She saves us from cliffhangers. I didn't cry for Mira. I was not worried about her at all. I cried for Quinn. And I barely knew Quinn. I felt like it was so unearned, but I'm such an emotional baby that her goodbye to Imogen got me.
See, but I think, like I said, I don't think Quinn's death.
So
I don't think Quinn's death would have been that important if it wasn't introduced the way it was.
Yeah, you're so right. Like it felt cheap, but because I love Imogen so much, I'm like, some people.
Yeah, why am I talking with you? I'm not talking with either of you, bitches. So, you didn't grow up here. You don't want to hear about Imogen.
I think it was lost because Quinn did feel like she was supposed to be an important part of Zayden's side.
Yeah.
Whatever the word I'm looking for is.
Well, she's not a marked one, but she was Imogen's best friend.
Yeah. And she felt like she was supposed to be so important to that side.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe she lost that along the way. So
something that got edited out.
But Mira, on the other hand, no, I cried. And my first thought was, why wasn't this Brennan? It's terrible.
Oh, shit.
I'm fight
because I know
he's a fucking traitor.
Me too.
Because Matt Nolan, or whatever his name was, is supposed to be his partner.
If he totally died,
he didn't die.
Outright.
So you're to his fucking end, you traitor.
I think
you're your man's end, and that's fucked up.
Ooh. Yep. Listen, did you enjoy
it? But.
No, dude, I'm so with you. Like, I also think Brennan's a traitor. But that's
basically
the series episode.
Like Violet and Zayden, but older generations,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to give up on you because you're a man.
Yep. He's got the whole thing that Violet does. I'm so with
you. The theory episode is just going to be us talking so much.
Right.
Shit.
Oh, my God. All right. No, overall, I enjoyed it. No, you know what? Honestly, I felt very myth about this book. There were parts of it I absolutely adored, but I literally... I finished that last section
And Rebecca's even talked about this in interviews, how, like, that book ends right at the end of a page, and then you turn it, and it feels like there should be more, and there's not. Yeah, like, I finished it, and I was like, the fuck? She even said she wouldn't do that if she had the choice, but it's just how the book ended. Yeah. Like, literally, I finished it, and I didn't have the what the fuck moment. I didn't have the, oh my god, what just happened moment. I was like, what did I just read? Like, this wasn't even satisfying. Like, this was irritating. The end
was so chaotic, it was hard to take it.
Yeah.
You know? It was, like, so many questions and so many plot lines from different part of the books that you just, like, it felt like, it, rather than it feel like, I don't think she was, I think what she was trying to do was connect it all, and I don't think she connected it. And more, I felt like she threw it all together. Had she written it differently and connected it, it would have been different. But instead, it felt like we were reading five stories from the other.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
But I did enjoy a lot of the books, not all of it.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess with all this said and done, we're going to have to fix our average rating.
Yeah.
Because you.
What?
Which is fine.
You're fine.
I'm the only one standing on my my stance here. So, Liz, what is our new average rating?
Our final average rating, with Pooh rating the book at a 3, a generous 3. Gammy standing hard at a solid 4, always hard. And me sitting at a 2.5, fantastic. That's great for YouTube. Where our new final rating between the three of us is a solid 3.1.
I don't know. It's better than 3 is
fine.
3 is like an average rating.
Yeah, it's like it's very 3 is worth it, but you maybe didn't stand out.
Yeah, and I feel like this one gets a little like half bump because of the rest of the series. We all loved the rest of the series, and like it's a middle book, and she had editing problems, so I understand.
It's fine. We forgive you, Becca. Don't do us dirty on the next one. All right, guys. So that's all we have for this episode of Overbooked and Opinionated. If you guys have any recommendations for us, anything that you would like to hear us cover, any series that you guys want us to start, that would be so evil if they're unfinished. But please go ahead and drop a comment. Send us a message. Email us. Do whatever you'd like. We want to hear from you. We want to talk to you. We want you to be a part of the book club. So tell us your opinions, and if you just strongly disagree with us, feel free to share. We would love to kind of conversate with you guys and see really how you felt about Onyx Storm. Does your rating kind of align with our average rating, or are you more like me and we're just a little bit over the average? Let us know, because we really want to know. You guys have any questions for the listeners?
I don't think so. I really just want to know your theories. Like, send us all of your favorite theories, whether or not you came up with them, because I swear that is why this series is so popular. Because theorizing about it and what's coming in the future books is so much fun that regardless of whether you loved the series or it's your favorite of all time or it's a 5-star read, theorizing about it is fun.
Yeah.
And we love a theory that goes back to the first two books.
All right.
And you can pull something from the first two and be like, this is why I think. We love it.
Yeah, and if you guys send us your theories, we can actually talk about them on the pod and see, we'll address them. We'll talk about it in like real time, and it'll be so much fun. You guys will be a part of the conversation with us. We would absolutely love for that to happen.
Let us know who you think took the biggest L this episode, who you want to fight the most.
Who had the most outrageous opinion, and why was it Serenity about images? All right,
I can't help it.
I think that's a...
She's not that important, right?
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Here we go.
And I really like Eric.
That's honestly the term.
Whatever.
It's Wendy and Woody all over again.
I know.
Mm-hmm. We're back.
Full circle.
Alrighty, we'll try and keep it on track. Thank you guys for checking out our first episode. I hope you guys enjoyed being a part of our book club. We'll see you guys in the next one. Our next episode will be releasing again at the same time as this one. So if you liked what you saw here in our Yapathon, please join us for our next episode, which will be a Hear Me Out, where I will try and convince Pooh and Gammy, and the rest of you, if you haven't read it yet, to read Manacle by Sen Lin Yu. She is a fan fiction writer who is actually publishing a full, completely original version of this story in the coming year, but I still maintain that the fan fiction is worth reading, and you don't have to read Harry Potter first. It's a Jermaine fanfic.
Well, I am looking forward to this Hear Me Out, and I can't wait to see what you have to say about it, so, oh man, good luck.
Neither of them have read Harry Potter. Pooh's read the first two.
Yeah.
Gibbs has read any of them. It's going to be a wild ride.
All right, guys. Does anybody have anything else?
No.
All right.
See you guys in the next one.
We're done. We did it. All right, guys. Thank you so much for bearing with us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't make me dance to a tune that you're humming. No, my body don't move like that. Don't make me pretend I don't see your shortcomings. You'll be running when I raise the black flag.
I can't believe I'm finally doing this. I'm finally recording the outro for our first ever podcast episode. This is kind of crazy. Thank you guys so much for listening to our first ever episode. We are so excited. We had so much fun making this. Even though the audio quality is a little bit cooked, I promise it gets better in the future episodes. But if you're here, you made it all the way through. You're either an absolute champion or you're probably more than likely one of our support systems. So thank you so much. Shout out significant others and parents who are here. But if you're here looking for the good stuff, you can find us on social media. We are on Facebook at Overbooked and Opinionated, on Instagram at Overbooked.Opinionated, on TikTok at Overbooked Opinion, and finally, you can find our book club on Fable. Join us if you would like to. Just for those who don't know, Fable is a social reading app where you can share your thoughts on books and find new ones, and it is where our book club has lived ever since before it was even a podcast. We absolutely love it. We're not sponsored. We just like it that much. Finally, we are really excited to see you guys in our next episode. I promise the audio quality... it gets better. It's not perfect. It's better. I'm learning. What can you do? Alrighty, guys. We'll see you in the next one. Thank you again so much. See ya.